Hey, by the way, it's not the Big Show. I don't know. It kind of felt like there was a conclusion to what was going on, and I'm like, show's over. And I've been up since about 4 o'clock this morning.
I've got to be honest. It felt like Family Feud at the end where they all get together and they're kind of arms under everybody's arms.
Everybody's uncomfortably dancing, and it was just like it was weird.
And then the host sends it off to break, and off they go, and Mama's family's up next.
Yeah, spay and neuter your pets. We're out of here.
Meanwhile, I'm hearing a panic like, oh, man, I don't know if Gordon's connected yet.
I'm sorry, Lloyd.
It did. Hey, how fun, how great were our judges? How fun was this competition?
Great panel. Great dude.
That was
great
great panel, man.
Yeah.
I don't know who put that panel together, but that was awesome.
It was.
Don't give any credit to Kurt.
No. Well, I mean, we did 3 out of the 4.
Yeah. So it was awesome.
I'm kind of glad you didn't judge, because when you would have given Bob perfect scores, I don't know if we could have come back to that.
Lloyd and I actually had this competition on my drive in, or conversation on my drive in. I talked to Lloyd, and I'm like, Lloyd, you know, I'm not going to vote for anybody else. And Lloyd's like, that's the right thing to do. I said, in order for us to conduct the show from here for the next 10, 15 years.
We wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have been upset about that.
No, we stick by each other's sides. We don't leave each other's sides.
Although I'm ready for you or Lloyd to compete in the next one. I'm ready to sit out and just sit back and enjoy things.
Yeah, I can. Well, you know, the thing is, you take it serious. You put a lot of energy into it. You know,
Logan put some bad juju on my Traeger, so I really don't want. I might have to get a new one.
I think that bad juju was there from the start.
Are you kidding me? You guys have tasted what's come off my Traeger. You know, that's not true.
Here's the thing. Logan's ribs were really good, too.
They were all really good. In fact, I'm going to take some of these ribs home, keep them for some Saturday night college football, some Sunday night NFL, and be eating some ribs for a few days.
Nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Not one bit. All right, so a lot to get to on the final hour of the show. I will say this, looking at last night's game, you watch a lot of that with Burrow versus Baker.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think Baker's turned the corner a little bit?
No, I don't. I think he's thrown against the Cincinnati Bengals defense.
It's more about that defense?
I think that I think he's under pressure. You know, you talked about longtime Cleveland Brown offensive lineman and probably one of the only respected Browns from any one of their teams over the last 10 years.
That's going to be a guy that's going to go to the Hall of Fame that never played in a playoff game.
Yep.
Joe Thomas has never – he retired, he's done, he played in the league, 15, 16 years and never played in a playoff game.
And basically he sent out a tweet and said it's time for Mayweather to either start playing or to lose that roster spot.
Yeah.
And – you know, it's tough because you got two aspiring guys like that. Mayweather was – he was a pistol.
Yeah.
That guy was full of vinegar. You know, you go back to the arrest that was made when he was tackled by the law enforcement, and you go back to his Heisman-winning run in college. Everything kind of surrounded him coming into the NFL and being great right out of the gates. It just goes to show you can't throw a guy on any team and make him great. There are very few – great players that can jump on a team that's struggling and make it an instant contender.
Yeah. I just I look at it and it's I want so badly. I don't know why, but I want Cleveland to be good. I mean, they've been bad for so long. I'd be really enjoyable for that team to actually turn around and be good. Lloyd, you say that out loud.
No.
No, Alana did not prescribe some wind, but yeah, it is kicking up here a little bit.
It's epic.
It's robust.
You know, I also take a look at Joe Burrow's at his game, and Joe Burrow's his final two drives were as creative and as dominant as anything Cleveland did in that entire game.
Yeah.
Now those 2 minute. You got to remember, those two-minute situations are completely different than the length of a game because you've got Cleveland that goes into a different kind of defense, and they're going to allow some of those underneath routes. But multiple times he's in a fourth-down situation, has to get it. One of the fourth downs he was able to run for right down near the goal line. It was just a drawn-up quarterback draw. A couple of the first downs he was hitting quick slants. But those quick slants were on the money.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when you're asking him to sit in the pocket, he's going to struggle with that because He doesn't have guys that help him sit in the pocket. I do think, however, I do think he's got three or four targets that are pretty darn good.
Yeah.
His tight end was special. I can't remember which wide receiver it was that caught the touchdown in the first two-minute drive in the back of the end zone that did a double tap that was incredible. So he's got some targets, but you can't do it without an offensive line.
One other thing I wanted to touch on was, of course, the news that the Pac-12 is on its way. Although Larry Scott did say that there's not going to be a vote today, that they hope to get everything settled settled next week. But looks like we got Pac-12 football, whether it's Halloween, whether it's November 7th. I don't know when it's going to come down, but get ready, folks. Pac-12 is coming back in some way, shape, or form. And I know you talked to Gary Anderson about it, and they're just kind of waiting. I do think the Mountain West is probably, I mean, just me speculating, I think the Mountain West probably is going to be starting up about that same time, if you read between the lines of some of the things that Craig Thompson is saying. And the question is, and I know we've talked about this a little bit, but are these guys going to be ready? I mean, they've kind of been waiting and waiting and doing some work and throwing on, you know, is it, you know, skeleton here and there, but can you really flip the switch and go into essentially summer camp mode and be ready to go?
That's a good question. You know, I asked Gary how difficult it was going to be to get his guys all back on campus, Scotty. And I was asking him about having to round up his guys, and he said that they'd never left campus.
Yeah.
That they've been in and working out, and they haven't stopped working out. So I think in Gary's situation, I think you could probably get these guys back on the field and have a pretty high level of productivity and pretty high level of confidence pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I'm not overly concerned about that. I do know that there's kind of a pretty healthy attack out there from some individuals saying, oh, well, you're so concerned with health and safety, but you're throwing these guys out on a field in shortened conditions. It's not really shortened conditions. I'm going to tell you, I almost feel like these guys are going to be fat, happy, overfed, and hungry for football by the time they get there. These guys have all been on delays. They've all been underweight. They've been on the bench press. They've been under the squat racks. They've been pushing weights. They've been hitting each other to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Think about doing, like, it's already hard enough in a 4 or 5 week camp, Scotty. They've been doing this now for a couple of months, where they've been in and they don't know if they're going to go, but they want to stay ready. And Coach Anderson has kept them on the in the program, and they have had to work in reduced groups. But I guarantee these guys are caged and hungry to get out and have a little bit of competition. So I'm not worried about that aspect of it.
No.
Some are, and I keep hearing people harp on it. Well, you're worried about their health and safety, but you're going to throw them out there on the field under quick conditions. No, I'm not worried about that. Now, what I'm worried about is if you're trying to push the FCS through late, what did you say it was?
May, middle of May. Whoever plays in that national championship game, I think it's May 15th.
Okay, so you can't push me into May and then put me back in camp in August.
Late July, early August, yeah.
You can't do that. And you asked Coach Hill if there was going to be, you know, you missed spring because that's obviously become a season. Are you going to have something to do in the summer? I need a month. I've got to have a month to decompress. And, you know, everybody's talked about making sure that this pandemic and this disruption only breaks up 1 year and doesn't disrupt a second year. You know, and I know the coaches you've talked to, obviously the coaches I've talked to said, look, whether it gets pushed back or whatever we do, we can't disrupt 2021. It has to go on, and it has to be fluid, and it has to be somewhat normal. So the FCS right now is in jeopardy of really busting up a 2021 with the plans that they've put together. That's where I'm concerned with people not being concerned with the health of the athlete, because now you truly aren't giving them the time to recover.
I mean, we were all concerned about the pandemic, and rightfully so. And you're like, look, we got to protect these players. But what kind of soft tissue injuries are you going to come up with when FCS players are playing, you know, let's say Jay Hill's crew plays six games in a regular season. They play three games in a playoff. There's nine games. And then they play 12 games in 2021. There you're looking at 21 games in the span of about 9 months.
Yeah.
That's a lot of wear and tear on a body.
It's too much. it's just too much for these kids, too much for these college kids. That to me is more dangerous, and I know that the pandemic is killing hundreds of thousands, but as far as the pandemic and these college athletes, I think that the pushing them through back-to-back consecutive seasons is more harmful to their overall health.
Yeah.
And showing less concern for the health of an athlete than what we're dealing with on the other end.
Well, it's funny because all DJ talked about it this morning on the show, and I've gotten the same kind of tweets of people like, are we going to point out the hypocrisy in this? And I'm like, of course. It's total hypocrisy. That's 100%. Like, I don't think anybody's even denying it. The fact that, yeah, I mean, everybody shut down because they were concerned about the health and safety of players in terms of the virus, but now we're coming back, and the virus is still rampant, and you got injury issues you've got to be concerned about. But also, let's acknowledge the fact that you've got these kids, A, want to play, they want tape, and you've got thousands of people whose livelihoods depend on having some level of a season right now.
Mm-hmm. Talked to Jay about his players and the concern they have. He said one of the issues with these players is he says that there's no fear for them in regards to this pandemic and this virus. And he said you have to basically tell them it's not about that fear. It's about the fear of having your season canceled. And then, Scotty, I talked to him as you went to go take care of your ribs. I talked to them about really having their veterans take over as a voice and trying to keep people in check. And they said, yeah, they're relying heavy on those guys. You know, it is. It's going to come down to locker room management. You know, really, your team is only going to be as clean and as successful as your upperclassmen allow them to be. A coach, you know, you've got essentially, what is it 10 paid assistants now?
Yeah.
You've got 10 voices that anybody's really going to listen to. 10 voices on a coaching staff that anybody's going to listen to. You've got about 20, maybe 25 upperclassmen that can conduct business in that locker room. And they're going to have to. You know, and Scotty, again, I go back to one of my biggest fears. BYU's veterans all leave on a road trip to Navy.
Yeah.
And you leave behind the non-travelers. And if those guys get it, it's as damaging as if the starters get it.
Yeah. Yep.
So, and essentially, I'm not saying that's exactly what happened, but essentially that's what BYU's dealing with. So when the veterans leave, there still has to be a level of accountability.
And you can't always rely on your assistant coaches and your position coaches to be on top of these guys. You got to have senior leaders. You got to have leaders that say, hey, look, we're leaving. And if you want to be part of this team, and if you ever want to be part of these trips where we go, then you got to be good now. Because if you get us sick, then you need to go find a way to go play somewhere else.
I asked Jay if there was going to be some animosity between teammates. One guy comes down with it, maybe causes a delay, maybe causes a cancellation, maybe causes four of his teammates to go into quarantine because of contact tracing. I said, will there be some animosity? And Jay said, it's going to come down to the level of action from that individual. How did he catch it? And is he being honest about how he caught it? Because, you know, if he is out at a party and he catches it, yeah, I think his entire team, I would imagine his entire team, he's going to be an outcast for a bit.
Yeah.
Especially
yeah.
if he causes a cancellation.
Yeah, they're going to be a little grumpy over that.
It's going to be really ugly. Now, if he was at a family event and dad brought it home from work and there was some type of transmission there, then there's going to be a different – I think there's going to be a different level of conversation with your teammates. But essentially, Jay said, stupidity will get you run out by your teammates. So don't be stupid.
Yeah.
And when I was a junior and senior, he's absolutely right. If I had some freshman that stayed back because he's not part of the travel squad, get it, and he was in my workout group, and now I'm quarantined because he got it, he better have a really good reason. It better not be something stupid.
Yeah.
So that's your hope that's going on right now in that BYU locker room is that nothing fractures because of now missing a game, the quarantining that's happened, the new protocols that are in place, some of the fear of maybe losing the entire season that's now occurred for these juniors and seniors, it could be pretty brutal for them. How would you handle it?
If I were a senior, I would rule that locker room with an iron fist. I mean, it would be like, I want to know where you're at. If I'm a senior and I'm on a road trip, I'm calling back. I'm like, what are you guys at? Where are you doing?
Yeah.
So, send me a picture of where you're at right now. Because so help me, if I see you around a group of 15, 20 people, if you're at a party or you're, you know, cranking out the moves at the Omni, like, we're going to have problems right now. Mm-hmm. It can't happen. Cannot happen. Because when we get back there, we need to know that we're safe to get back there. But I mean, I would be all over that, all over those guys in terms of making sure that they mind their P's and Q's.
And then, Scotty, I was kind of surprised. I asked Gary Anderson about the NCAA's decision to extend the seniors and these individuals, these players, an extra year. And I asked him, if everybody's back to play, could an individual conference then restrict and make that decision? And he said that he would hope not. You know, Gary's committed to wanting to get these guys an extra year because of the total disruption that's happened. And it's tough for me because I see the opposite. You know, if I'm a Division I college coach right now and my seniors get 9 games in and some type of bowl or championship game opportunity, I'm giving them a big hug, a handshake, and I'm sending them on their way, and I'm going to be distributing their scholarship to the next incoming freshman because I can't disrupt the flow of freshmen. It's tough to think of what's going on with the 20 and 21 and the 2022 recruits right now, Scotty.
Yeah.
And it's not just football. And, you know, I'm living in that world right now. It's brutal. There are guys that deserve scholarships that aren't getting them. They aren't even getting the looks. They're not getting the calls. But the flip side of that, the 2023s, they're getting their commits now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're getting a lot of 2023 offers out there.
Well, because, you know, things are going to open up a little bit. I mean, you know, Gary could be in a situation – well, not, Gary made this joke the other night when I was doing the coaches show with him that given the amount of freshmen that they've got coming in and the fact that that class is going to be just completely jam-packed, he might have a senior day of an hour and a half of ceremonies when – and it's going to be really hard for these guys to try to juggle their classes, which lends me to believe that I think these coaches are saying the right thing. But deep down, I think they're going to be like you, Hans. They're going to say, we're going to have tough conversations with guys. And, I mean, I think you're in a position where you can be more honest about it. I think a lot of these coaches can't really say it right now because they don't want to address it right now. Because, frankly, they don't have to address it right now. But they will at the end of whenever this season ends. They're going to have to come up to these guys and say, hey, look. Hey, Joe Schmuckatelli, look, I appreciate all you've done for us, and I know that we can technically bring you back, but I can't. Like, you're not going to help us next year, and I got to give it to this freshman.
I also want to say to people out there that are like, wait a second, though, you keep your best seniors, and you're going to be better. Well, if everybody else is keeping their best seniors, you're just going to have a higher level competition in college football. I don't know how much one team excels to the other. Now, you could have a great senior class. Now, BYU could truly benefit.
Yeah.
Utah, not as much.
Yeah, no, you're right. This is a really good setup for BYU.
Oh, great setup if they can keep their seniors, and especially if Bushman gets healthy.
Yeah,
and you get another year with a 28-year-old Matt Bushman. You know, I don't know how old he'll be at that point, but he's going to be a long season vet by the time he comes back from this injury.
Yeah,
this Achilles.
Well, but, that's the thing, you know. I don't know. Does he still come back for next fall?
Well, I wouldn't, you know, if I felt any level of draftability. I just don't. I think he's fallen out of draftability.
Yeah. So even though he'll be, geez, 25, 26.
He'll be old.
Yeah.
But, you know, you could come back and you could have that season that you were hoping for. And you could maybe work yourself back into the draft. But there are other seniors out there like Troy Warner. You know, Troy started off really solid. And if Troy could put together a good year and stay committed and has a good year and decides, hey, I want to come back for that extra senior class, the super senior, if you will, Troy could put together a really good season
and
understand what he's got on his hands. Same with Zane Anderson and some of these others.
And those offensive linemen can just continue to pad that resume.
Okay, well, Scotty, we'll go back to 2000 when I was coming out. And my draft score was, you know, 6th round, 7th round, a free agent. That was my draft score. If somebody told me, you get another year, get to redo this, I would have a completely different level of perspective. My age would have some play into my
But not as much.
Not as much, but it would have – my maturity would play a role in my ability to prepare for that final super season, senior season. I would have been now married a year. I would have been a little bit more settled in on a vision of what I needed to do with my body. And I would have come back and I'd have taken that extra year to see if I could get a higher draft class. Now, you got to understand, if you're a senior making that decision, that draft class is going to be packed coming up in 2021. So you're going to be competing with a deeper class. You see what I'm saying? Because now you've got regular seniors and super seniors that are going to be eligible. So there's a lot to think of from a player's point of view, too.
Yeah. All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Scotty's hanging out with us right now from the store. How you doing, man?
What's up, guys?
Sorry about trying to end the show a little early. That's my bad.
No, that's good. No worries.
It's been a long
day. Long day. You guys got here at 5. I got here at 6. It's been a long one already.
So. But you know what? Totally worth it. We can't thank you enough for hosting this thing. This has been a blast.
It's been fun over here at Ace, change of scenery, but it's been a fun day. A lot of good food going around. I'm pretty full. Getting that midday nap coming on or something. I don't know.
Was that you that did the mac and cheese?
Yeah, we were smoking the mac and cheese. That turned out really good.
Is that a Velveeta base?
It's just a cheddar and heavy cream. I mean, it's
okay,
but not Velveeta itself. No, it's just but it's similar. It's an all natural mac and cheese. It's really fresh and good. So.
Yeah, but it's really weird that you could get a cheddar that creamy.
Yeah, it's awesome. And the white one's good. And then we did the ribs. We're doing cookies right now. DJ and I threw those. Bring some of those over.
You got some smoked chocolate chip cookies?
Yeah, there's some smoked cookies.
Have you ever tried that before?
No.
I've never done it either.
No, I've done rolls.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do all my rolls in the Traeger now. I love that it just keeps that, that perfect temperature. And
it honestly does. It crisps them up. Yeah. I'm not much of a baker, so I love using the Traeger for this kind of stuff. I just love using the Traeger for anything, really anything.
Okay, so these are chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah, the dough is Cutler's, which we sell a lot of their fresh cookies in our bakery and whatnot. But we sell their dough here at the store, same parking lot as the Ace. But
so, Scotty, what you got in this with a passion? Is your passion food? Is it grilling? Yeah. What is your passion here?
Just local food in general, but yeah, food in general. I mean, growing up with my dad at the store, food is a big deal. DJ, he's doing our marketing. He's into food, so it's just a dangerous combo. Amy was on earlier. She's a chef, really talented and amazing.
Amy was
pastry
great on
chef.
The air. That, she was fun to have a conversation. Yeah.
We all just love food at the store. It's all just whatever it is, we just love good food as I'm eating. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we're all eating right now.
Well, I appreciate you having us out here, Scotty. The competition was a blast. Big thanks to all the judges.
Yeah.
Huge thank you to the competitors. And by the way, you come down to the store right now, you get yourself a tri-tip, an uncooked tri-tip for the weekend. They're going to throw in a full rack of ribs. That's only through today. So come in and get your tri-tip for the weekend. Get that free rack of ribs. Also, you grab one of these Traegers, they're going to give you $100 off and a $50 gift card into the store as well.
Hey, by the way, to get that tri-tip and then the ribs free, it's actually a coupon. So come by here where we're at here outside of the Ace Hardware. Grab that coupon, and then you can take it over to the store. But you need to have that coupon here. So make sure you grab that and work your way over to the store. Hans and Scotty, Total Recall, coming up next right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK. Jay Drew joining us, BYU football writer for the Deseret News. Do you have the feeling that most BYU guys are trying to follow the rules so they at least have a pretty good chance of playing, recognizing that anything can go wrong even if you're following the rules and they may have to postpone a game?
Yeah, I do. Around June or July, sources have told me there was an outbreak. They did have several guys test positive. At that time, there was some pretty stern shots fired across the bow from BYU administration to these players. There's 120 23 guys on that roster. You're talking about a ton of people, but I get the idea from the most part that the last couple of months they've done their best to follow the guidelines and protocols.
Catch DJ and PK more. WCF Insurance, reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Well, I stumbled at 2 a.m. all drunk and full of smoke. My wife said I have had enough. That said I'm sick. Get out! So I stumbled down to Kelly's boat across the edge of town. And I told the boys my story, and we had another round. Now we're drinking, 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 fight. Hey! We're drinking, 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 fight. Hey! And I might see a pretty girl.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. All right.
How stressful is that, Scotty? Competing in the rib competition.
It was stressful. It was way more stressful than I thought it was going to be. Had you told me yesterday I'd finish second to Bob, perfectly fine with it. Perfectly fine. The thought of finishing fourth, that had me a little concerned.
So you just wanted to make sure that you finished next to Bob and nowhere behind.
Yeah. Actually, I'm a little ticked.
But I
need to beat Bob.
But I got to tell you, though, Bob was 1 point off a perfect score.
Yeah. I think
fives across the board from every judge except for 1 5 in tenderness from one judge.
Which is crazy because that was the one thing that, to me, was not even an issue with his ribs, was tenderness.
Yeah.
We need different judges next year. No, I'm just joking. That was a joke.
To Jim Olsen, I would like to let you know that you were an incredible judge.
No, I looked at Jim's scorecard. Jim's good.
Okay, Jim's good. Oh man,
Brophy on the other hand.
I did lean
actually
over.
Hand those things over. I want to double check those scores.
I did lean over to Jim and I told Jim, I said, "Hey,
I trust you, Johnny."
I told Jim, I said, "Hey, I think you could get at least a year of free service out of him if you give him a vote here."
Don't put that in his mind.
Did you hear what he yelled at Bowler?
Yeah, no, I did hear.
Got more than a dollar. Man, I hope everybody understands the level of leadership that we have with the Jazz Entertainment. Because Jim Olsen is one of the most quality human beings I've ever met in my life, legitimately.
Yeah.
And then, you know, guys like Bowler. You know, we work around great people. We really do. I'm really grateful for that.
All right. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network.
So, Scotty and I have built a fun tradition every Friday. Getting you started for your weekend, we like to set you up with a little bit of happy hour.
Yeah. And essentially, it all came from a listener who took one of our segments, actually a segment with Ron McBride, an old Football Friday segment, and he slowed it way down and made us all sound drunk. And we thought it was really humorous. So we decided to take the idea and make it a regular part of the show.
But then we found we don't even have to slow down Gordon Monson's audio. We just play it as it is, and he sounds drunk and out of his mind.
That's a little aggressive. So you're saying what we're going to play is unedited?
Unedited. Not touched.
All right. Here's Jake Scott and Gordon Monson. It is time for another edition of Happy Hour.
You bring up Sean Smith. It reminds me of a story from when he was at Utah. He challenged my daughter, who was on the Utah tennis team at the time, to a match. And I told her, I said, man, you should have taken him up on that and put about $10,000 down on the line.
Your daughter has 10 grand at that age?
I would have backed her because there's no way she's losing. I told her, I said, he's probably got all that money from his agent already. Go lay some money down and go kick his butt.
Okay, let me ask you just for the sake of an exercise here. Let's say that daughter came to you and said, "Dad, I need 10 gur cash."
Yes.
How long? No. How long until she would have that physically in her hand?
Less than an hour.
Wow.
Dang. I just go to the bank and get it and go play him. But you take it with you, but you're not going to lose it. You're going to gain it.
Okay. An hour, then. Under an hour.
I don't know. Pizza.
Okay.
Okay. Why? What's it usually take? I don't know.
Lloyd, how long would it take you to scrape together 10 gur cash?
You're going to need to give me a couple minutes. Give me a year.
Yeah, you put legal? It on your credit card.
I mean, if we're throwing law out the window, I can get it by this evening.
Well, isn't cash on the credit card, didn't that come at like 30% APR or something?
I think so.
Something like that.
It's a smart move.
Going down to Czech City.
That 10 grr turns into 17.
Going down to Czech City, and when they say, hey, what do you need this cash for? Oh, I'm betting on a tennis match.
It's a sure bet. It's a cold bet.
I swear.
Oh, it would be a sure bet. That'd be the easiest money in the history of mankind. Because this is my experience. Male college athletes have an overinflated view of how good they are, not at their chosen sport, but at every sport. And some of them have a little bit of that chauvinism going. And I'm telling you, she would have kicked his butt. She would have beaten him the way Sid beat Hans.
I have no doubt.
My 12-year-old.
I'm just picturing the guy at Czech City still. Like, oh, you say it's a sure bet, huh?
Well, if I couldn't come up with the 10K, then, you know, I'd hand him the keys to my car and say, here's some collateral.
No. We believe you can come up with the 10K. That's not the issue.
What was that? That.
Oh, man. I've never heard a man flaunt his wealth more.
Oh, my gosh.
In my life. Like, it used to be kind of a bit, like thinking, oh, you know, they make him try to sound. Well, now he's just giving up. He's like, yeah, I am overly wealthy, and I really don't care.
How long would it take you to come up with 10 gur? Oh, less than an hour. 10 gur cash. Well, you just go down to the bank, and you just get it.
And by the way, when he talks about Division I men's
wow.
players being arrogant, it's not about that. It's just when, you know, we flirt.
How long until she would have that physically in her hand?
Less than an hour.
What? Wow.
$10,000 to put down on a tennis match.
Holy smokes. I like Lloyd's answer. Like, I'm going to need about a year.
You can't just neglect your bills. I got bills I got to pay, too. I got to save a little bit.
So funny.
Holy smokes. That is something.
Less than an hour.
Wow.
And then you just go to the bank and they just give it to you. Like, hey, Robin with a Y, I need 10,000. Oh, here you go, Gordon. Would you like that in 20s or 100s?
I like Austin's idea. He's like, look, if we're taking the law out of this, I could have it probably in a couple hours.
Not to say I might get there, but I'll have a lot of people on my tail. A lot of flashing lights coming after me.
How many of our listeners out there could have $10,000 ready to go for a gambling bet in under an hour?
5%, maybe?
I think less. That's a lot of money.
Essentially what Gordon's saying is I just need to get to – you know, make several trips to the ATM, although they'll usually lock you out after, what, 1,000 or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so but he probably has a special ATM he uses.
He's got that Amex black card where they'll do about whatever they But then, not the best of financial advice either. Like, well, just put it on your credit card.
Jake's like, isn't that 30% APR?
Yeah, especially
cash on a
card? If you get cash advance on that thing.
And I think really... he was insinuating that Sean Smith was taking money under the from agents.
He did kind of insinuate that, didn't he?
Yeah, I heard that too.
There's a lot of wrong with what he did there.
Well, you mean other than being extremely intoxicated?
Yeah, and then that too.
It kind of what happens when you tap the hour.
Holy smokes.
On air, intoxicated, gambling, heavy gambling.
This might have been, I don't know, is there something about also using your child as a gambling piece, you know? I mean, that, I don't know.
And then being the money to back on that?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you could really influence the outcomes.
And then he threw you under the bus, too.
I know. I should have never let her win. It was the worst thing I've ever done.
You know what? You don't want to wreck a kid's confidence.
I know. She's a 12-year-old girl.
She had a lot of good tennis ahead of her.
She would have beaten him the way Sid beat Hans.
I have no doubt.
I'm not going to go out there and beat a 12-year-old girl. Plus, I knew how much money Gordon had put into her tennis lessons. I didn't want to make that all for naught.
Make all that, all those tens of thousands of dollars go away.
Nobody came out there to watch me win. They all wanted to watch it. Look, the better storyline was me letting Sid win. So I had to do that.
Maybe we need a rematch.
No. I don't want one. Ain't going to be no rematch.
Way to go, Rocky.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Ann's and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. I got to think... What do they call it? Getting high with Hans and Scotty.
Mm-hmm.
That's getting a little out of control too.
I haven't heard it. Either is anybody else in the state of Utah.
Okay, stop. What are you doing now?
What?
Why are you doing this?
I'm just.
That's completely
fun.
Untrue. You can't say that stuff.
Oh, come on. Just playing. Just playing with the fellas. Parents, the guys don't like you.
Oh, man. What has gotten into you? I'm the one that lost today, not you. Why are you in a bad mood?
I'm in a great mood. I'm just giving them a hard time. I flip on the radio. Gordon's always giving me a hard time. I can give them a hard time.
Yeah. We better go to break. Hans and Scotty, this time we've got the final segment coming up next, and we'll get you ready for the big show right here on the Zone Sports Network.
How long until she would have that physically in her hand?
Less than an hour.
Let's go!
The Big Show.
It's a big deal!
With Gordon Monson and Jake Scott.
Didn't he just say there's nothing the state is doing to stand in the way of college football? What? Your policy is in the way!
I'm not following that, really. Pro teams are doing it. Sorry, my phone's ringing.
What, is this your first day on radio?
I'll just let it ring out.
Hit the button. Oh.
I know, it's across the room. Jake, why are you calling me? Are you just doing that just to bug me now?
I am. I admit it. That was a low blow. Who's calling you this time?
I don't know who that is.
You don't have Lloyd's number in your phone?
Now Scotty's calling.
Phone's ringing, dude.
The Big Show. Weekdays from 2 to 7 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Standing here beside you, want so much to give you.
Hans and Scotty wrapping up another edition of the show. Thanks for making us part of your day. Big thanks to the store and Ace Hardware for letting us hang out here today.
You know, Scotty, I know that there's all this concern that's going on, and I know big numbers here in the state again, but I did want to mention that the Major League Baseball announcement came out this morning that they have now had no new positives for 19 consecutive days, and in 27 of the last 28 days.
Wow.
No new positives in Major League Baseball. So they're doing a really good job of managing it. And what my hope And, you know, and talking about Jim Olson all day and the responsibility that he's got in front of him, and hearing Craig Bowlerjack say, can't wait to get the Jazz back. Well, we all want it back in our arenas,
yeah.
Right? We want it back in Vivint Arena. We want it back in our community. That's what Major League Baseball is doing right now across the country. They're in their stadiums. They're in their homes. They're with their families. And they're taking a certain level of responsibility in their personal life to make sure that they don't bring it back to the locker room. Well, you're talking about a Major League Baseball roster, and they're able to manage it now 28 out of 29 days, 19 consecutive days with no new positive tests. You can't tell me that a 14-team roster can't do the same, and that an arena, you know, putting whatever it's going to be, 2,000 or 3,000 people in that 20,000-seat arena, you should be able to pull this off. If Major League Baseball is doing it and confident and successful, it feels like we're going to be able to do that come in December.
Yeah. The question that, or January or February, the question you have to ask yourself, and this is, you know, look, even if we were to talk to Jim on the air about this, you know, I don't know if even NBA is in a position where they can talk about it right now. I think they want to get the season over and then make sure everything's good and then regroup and see where they're at. But the question is going to be, do you start in December? Because you're right, you can travel around and you can be okay. Or do you wait until January and February to the point where maybe there's some therapeutics or maybe some early vaccines where you can fill up that arena halfway full? And, you know, is it worth waiting a month or two to make sure that you can get people into the arena? Mm-hmm. And I think that's – we joke around with Jim and all, but he's not going to divulge any of that information to us, nor should he. But, you know, I think those are the questions you've got to make. And if I were them, I would say, yeah, let's wait a month or so we can try to monetize this thing as much as possible, because they got roughed up pretty good last year, even though they've got the games in the bubble and got everything taken care of in that regard. But still, I mean, that's a lot of money. 40% of your revenue comes from fans in the seats. And if you can find a way to make that happen, yeah, you should wait a month or two.
So, Scotty, the only reason I would disagree with that is because waiting on ifs always worries me when you're talking about what we're currently dealing with.
Yeah.
You know, the thought of a virus is great and the hope is there. The thought of a vaccine is great and the hope is there. But, you know, waiting on the possibility, you might be waiting a long time, or waiting till you've got further information, it may be a while before you feel comfortable enough that you can say, let's get it full, instead of moving forward in the time and allotment that you have and trying to do the best with what you've got.
Yeah.
So I really see both sides, and I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Monetarily, it would make more sense to be able to pack that arena, open up vendors, you know, get people back in those booths and working the pizzas and the dogs and the nachos and the drinks. That definitely would rebuild the community and make more sense. I just worry in these climates waiting on ifs, because ifs might not ever come.
Well, they're going to come. We just don't know when. But you're right. I mean, it kind of felt like, all right, so, you know, this thing hit in March and April, like, ooh, that sucked. And then May, everything comes down, and like, all right, well, we got this thing under control. Then July, it spikes up high. And then we're like, okay, and then it comes back down. Well, today we had our highest day in positive tests that we've ever had. We broke four digits today. We're at 1,100 people in positive tests today. So every time it seems like you got this thing managed and got it a little bit under control, it pops up on you in a big way.
It does, and I hope that we can continue to manage it. And I hope that these guys can make the best decisions they can. But it is nice to see Major League Baseball has settled down. And to a large extent, Scotty, they've got it figured out.
Yeah. No, it's – and, you know, knock on wood, you got the NFL that seems to be able to protect its players. And you're right. If you can do Major League Baseball and you can work the NFL, the roster size is dramatically smaller when it comes to the NBA.
Yep.
All right, that wraps it up for us. DJ Bowlerjack hanging out with us once again. Hey, DJ.
Hey, guys. Great time.
Oh, this was a blast today.
Great job today, DJ.
Thank you as well. You guys, it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of people come by checking out these rubs and spices, and we sold a really great giant Traeger.
Yeah.
And a lot of other items. People, you know.
Some guy get the big one?
Yeah.
Yes.
The biggest one we had, man. It was great. It was a lot of fun. A lot of people came over for samples, and, you know, doing this deal, the tri-tip, get a free thing of ribs, coming by and getting these coupons, and what a fun time with you guys, as always, and we had some
some pretty amazing just today and amazing competitors, so I can't complain.
Well, DJ, you put on a heck of an event, man. You really do, and we appreciate the pizzas, and we appreciate the rib smoking event and everything you do with the zone. Scotty and I love being a part of it.
Well, we appreciate you. And, you know, it was a team effort. You know, it's the whole Niederhauser family and the whole The Store crew. I couldn't, you know, all of us work together and we have a great time together. And that's what it's all about. It's a family business, and our family are also our customers and you guys now. So thank you so much for everything you all do. Really appreciate it.
The tri-tip deal will continue throughout today only, though, right?
Today only. Yep. So you got to come over. We're here for a little longer and just come on by, come hang out with us, check out some stuff from Ace Hardware. 15% off the entire store,
crazy,
except for Traeger and Still products. But, guys, we got Yeti stuff. We have amazing DIY projects. We have amazing things for people to do and have fun with, and they can use that
15% off. So 15% like off your gardening tools? And
Yes, everything.
Really?
Yep, 15% off everything. You come in and you got a project at home, paint, anything, you get 15% off your entire purchase.
Well, we got to wrap things up. We're in the middle of what feels like a hurricane right now.
Jeez, man.
May not be the windstorm we had a week ago, but it's kicking up pretty good.
I hope it's not, Scotty. I can't see you chopping down any more trees.
No more trees, man. I don't want to lose any more trees.
My little Paul Bunyan over here. Take a...
Well, I don't know. I run into Ace and grab another chainsaw and let's go. All right, big show coming up next. Right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.